Welcome to Wall Street Unspun with your host, Peter Schiff.
But it's a giant bubble in search of a pin, and it's going to find one.
Are you confused with the ups and downs of the economy and what it means to you?
Don't believe the propaganda, and that's what it is. When you're listening to an analyst on a lot of these popular financial shows, you're not getting investment advice. You're getting propaganda.
Get ready to untangle the web of misinformation provided by the mainstream media.
These firms are trying to sell you stocks. Their real clients, their banking clients, are trying to get rid of stocks.
And now, here's your host of Wall Street Unspun, the president of Euro Pacific Capital and a licensed broker with a passion for truth. It's Wall Street Unspun with Peter Schiff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to another edition of Wall Street Unspun. I am Peter Schiff, president of Euro Pacific Capital and the host of this program. And it is a call-in program. Remind you that we have open lines, and the telephone numbers to call are 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. The lines are open. And so everybody should have received the fourth issue of our newsletter, The Global Investor. It was emailed out today. I think we're now emailing it out to about 24,000 people. Our subscriber list, our mailing list is growing. You know, we actually had about 6,000 people on our database about a year ago, and now it's about 30,000. So more and more people are starting to find out about what we're doing here at Euro Pacific Capital and opening up accounts and doing something to protect their wealth. So if you didn't get your issue of that newsletter, there's a good chance that your spam filter had looked at it as junk mail. So look in your junk mail and see if you can find it, and then see if you can tell your spam filters to let these emails in the future. If you're not getting our newsletter, if for some reason we do not have your email address, make sure and go to my website and sign up so that we do have your email address and you will be able to get the next issue that comes out. There are some good new recommendations in there, three new Canadian business trusts, some good ideas. And, you know, so far we've done extremely well with all the stocks we've recommended in the first three newsletters. And so far we've done a pretty good job of the stocks that we've picked. And they've all been new ideas that we've introduced in the newsletter. So they weren't stocks that we had been recommending to our clients, for a long period of time. They were brand new recommendations, and they kind of debuted in a newsletter. But make sure and read it. It's a good read, and of course, I do a column in it every, whenever they come out, just a general overview of what's going on in the markets. And also, this show comes live. If you're brand new, we broadcast every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, both on my website at www.europac.net and at 5.07 megahertz on your shortwave dial. You know, the Money Show in Las Vegas is coming up next week, and hopefully we'll see many of our clients there. If you're not yet registered for the Vegas Money Show, it might not be too late. Certainly if you're in driving distance of Las Vegas, try to show up. I'm going to be speaking. I think we've got two workshops. Actually three. One of them is going to be hosted by Axel Merck of the Hard Currency Fund, but we're sponsoring it. I'll be there. Then I have two other workshops, an editorial and a product workshop. And, of course, I will be taking place again in the bull-bear debate. Marty Weiss and myself will represent the bears, and Joe Battipaglia and Louis Navalier will represent the bulls. And then, again, we have our client-only conference, which you don't technically have to be a client. You just have to pre-register. And so if you are listening to the radio show and you want to go to the client-only conference in at the Money Show, make sure and call my office and register, and you'll get the location of the event, because it's not in any of the brochures. It's not open to the general Money Show public. It's only open to people who have been invited specifically by Euro Pacific Capital. And it should be a good show. It should be a good show. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be flying out to Las Vegas a week from Saturday, and I'll be spending the entire week there. And the guys that are going to be there, if you haven't had a chance to meet, I think John Catalfio, who is the manager of the office in Phoenix, and Jason Farkas, who is a relatively new hire. He's been with us, I'm not sure, maybe under 6 months, but he will be making his money show debut, the first time he's worked at one of these trade shows. So it's a good opportunity to meet a couple of fine brokers at Euro Pacific Capital if you haven't had a chance to. Also, Danielle Dwyer, who runs the Perth Mint Division, who's been a very busy little beaver recently with the action in gold. She will also be joining us at the money show. I think it's the first time she's been there as well. And Axel Merck will be with us in the booth of the Merck Hard Currency Fund. So we're going to have a pretty busy booth at this Las Vegas Money Show and a good opportunity to meet quite a few of the people associated with Euro Pacific Capital. And again, I look forward to, you know, meeting some of the clients that we've only talked to over the telephone. Anyway, you know, a lot has happened this week once again. I mean, the usual with oil and gold and silver. Gold made a new 26-year high this morning. I believe we got as high as $675 before profit taking set in. We had a little bit of a correction, and I think we closed just slightly negative on the day, around $665. But we got up to $675. Silver got up to above 14.5, didn't quite make a new high, then sold off, and I think now we're back up in like $1375, $1380. And oil, after hitting it, you know, hitting up to almost $75 a barrel again yesterday, based on some, you know, supply numbers out of the U.S., we dropped a couple of bucks, and crude oil is back to 72.25. But, you know, I think there's a lot of support around $70 now. You know, $70 was the resistance. I think now it's the support. I think any dip below 70 is a buying opportunity. You know, these markets are moving higher. You know, same thing with gold, same thing with silver. You know, we have a lot more volatility now. But that's to be expected, and I think these markets are going a lot higher. You know, the gold stocks continue to lag. Interestingly, you know, gold itself, physical gold, is up 30% on the year, 30% since January. The XAU index of gold stocks is only up 25% during that same period of time. Now, normally, I mean, if someone had told you, you know, at the end of December that gold would be up 30% in the first 4 months of the year, you would have thought gold stocks would be up at least 50%, maybe even double. But they've actually underperformed. And I've noticed that whenever gold goes up, gold stocks go up less or maybe slightly more. But whenever gold goes down, gold stocks get killed. Case in point today, gold stocks are down a couple percent. Gold was barely unchanged. It was down a little bit. And I still think this is a good sign. A lot of people are saying that these gold stocks are a leading indicator for a metals decline. I don't think so. I think, again, I've written about this in the past. I think it's a good sign of healthy skepticism that the investors, the speculators in the mining sector, are looking for gold prices to collapse. And so they're reluctant to buy these shares. We saw the same thing with oil. Oil was going up and up and up, and the oil stocks wouldn't move because everybody knew that oil prices were going to stay up forever, that it was temporary, that oil prices were going to drop, and so there's no point in buying these oil stocks. So I think people are making the same mistake with gold as they did with oil, and I think it's a clear sign that we're going higher. And I still think we're early in this bull market, and so of course I still like the physical precious metals. And now, we like the Perth Mint, and, you know, we've been talking about the Perth Mint, and Danny's getting busier and busier. More of you or people are starting to call up. You know, we got a long way to go, I think. I think, really, you know, very, very few Americans own gold right now. You know? And so if you don't own any, you know, give us a call. Give Danny a call. She works in California. And, start buying some gold. The number for the California office is 800-993-8350, 800-993-8350. You can buy gold, silver, and platinum, all three physical. If you do want to speculate, you know, there are some mining stocks that I think are great buys right now, and if you want to talk to one of our brokers, give us a call in the morning or something, 800-727-7922, and discuss this, you know, the possibility of, you know, buying some mining shares and seeing if you're suitable for them. There are a lot more speculative than a lot of the other things that we do. But I think if you're in the mood to speculate, I think if I'm right, the speculation will pay off quite handsomely. You know, a lot of other things in the news. You know, the silver ETF premiered on Friday, And, you know, just a big debut. I mean, and this again, I wrote about this in my newsletter, but now we've got a gold and a silver ETF, and it just makes it so much easier for investors, both individual and institutional investors, you know, to click a mouse and buy some physical gold and silver. And I think this is going to really expand the market, and more people are going to get involved, more and more investors and institutions are going to start to rediscover gold, not only as money, but as a good hedge in a portfolio. I mean, it used to be commonplace for portfolios to have a 5 or 10% gold weighting. You know, that ended in the 1990s. And so I think that, you know, we're going to start to see this happening again in precious metals. And I thought it was very interesting. I also talked about in my newsletter. But on that Friday, when you had the silver ETF debuted, Microsoft Corporation came out with some very bad earnings, and the stock was down 11% on the day. And so I took a look at the chart of Microsoft. You know, back in 1999, Microsoft was trading at $60. Today it's at $23. $60 to $23. In fact, Microsoft is trading at the same price it was at in 1998, 8 years ago. But in 1999, December 1999, when Microsoft was at 63, gold was at 290. It's gone from 290 to 675. It's gone up more than double in a time span when you got a 60% decline in Microsoft. Now, who would have imagined if you did a survey of investors in December of 1999, you know, the epitome of the new era, the dawn of the new millennium, and asked investors, what's going to be the better investment for the next decade, Microsoft or gold bullion? Well, 1 in 1,000 would have said gold bullion, if that. You know, I mean, Microsoft was one of the darlings. Remember, it was one of the four horsemen of the NASDAQ. You know, another big popular stock back then was Intel. You know, Intel is also where it was in 1997. Intel was at $80 in January of 2000. $80. You know where it is today? 19.5. You know, I mean, everybody owned Microsoft and Intel. Nobody owned gold and silver. And, you know, that's how you have to invest. You can't buy what everybody is buying because you know it's overvalued. You got to find out what nobody is buying and buy it. Now, we have a few more people buying gold today than we did 6 years ago, 8 years ago. But I'm sure more Americans own Intel or Microsoft than own any gold or silver. So what does that tell you? That tells you that we've got a long way to go. You know, this market's going to run, I think, until we've got more people owning gold than Microsoft. You know, we've got these old tech names of the past, they've got to be gone. People have to sell them in favor of the new asset class, du jour or whatever, for there to be some kind of, a mania or some kind of bubble, which may form at some point, but we're certainly not there yet. And we're certainly not in any kind of bubble with respect to, you know, foreign assets or non-dollar assets. You know, the U.S. dollar, that's the other big thing that's happened recently. The dollar's been killed, absolutely killed recently. The Australian dollar surged to a new multi-year high. I don't know what it is, a new 8-year high or something today, but we're up over 10% in the Australian dollar in the last month. I mean, huge. The Canadian dollar hit 91 cents today. 91 cents. I mean, it's up huge. It's at a 28-year high. A 28-year high. The British pound is at $1.85. I mean, it was 10 cents lower a couple weeks ago. It's $1.85. The Swiss franc is back above 81 cents, and the euro is at almost 127. These are huge moves. Huge moves. And so, you know, it's been quiet for a while. The dollar's been stable. Not anymore. It's really starting to get hit. And of course, the portfolios of Euro Pacific Capital clients in the last month or so have really gone up dramatically. And anybody who's been, you know, thinking about, you know, following our advice or following my advice, I mean, you really need to get going because for a while, you know, things are kind of going sideways in general because the dollar wasn't caving in. But that's all changed. That's all changed. The dollar is just rolling over here, and it looks extremely weak to me. I think that we could see a big drop even from here. Of course, you know, we only have we're about 85.5. The major support in the dollar is at 80 on the dollar index. Now, you don't want to wait for 80 to buy. I mean, that's not a very, you know, good place to position. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's going to go down there. So, you know, don't wait for that. But if we break that level, and I'm confident we will. I mean, if we don't break it this time, you know, we'll break it the next time. But if we break it, you know, look out below. I mean, it's going to be no man's land. I think this currency can really come unglued. So, you know, don't wait too much longer if you've been contemplating opening up an account with Euro Pacific Capital. Get going. You know, get going. And if you already have an account, but it's not substantial, because you haven't sent us too much money, not because we didn't do a good job, but send us some more. You know, don't wait. Don't wait any longer. Now, I'm going to give you that toll-free number again. We don't have any calls. The number to call is 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. I'm sure somebody out there must have a comment or a question for me, and if you do, please give me a call. Now, I don't know if anybody read Bill Gross's latest column on his website, but I strongly suggest that you go over to PIMCO.com, www.PIMCO.com, and read Bill Gross's investment outlook. I mean, I don't agree with 100% of what he's saying, but I mean, I agree with a lot of it. But what's the most important, you know, germane to this presentation, let me read to you his final paragraph. This is the final paragraph in his commentary. And, you know, Bill Gross, if you don't know, is the manager of PIMCO, which is the largest owner of U.S. government bonds in the world. This is the biggest manager of the largest bond portfolio in the world. Okay, and this is what he has to say. I'm quoting right from this article. Quote, if the U.S. chooses to pursue most of the above policies, and the above policies are what he thinks needs to be done to correct the global imbalances, the investment implications are significant. Although it must be recognized that I am not speaking to overnight developments, but instead to changes that should occur in future years. Higher inflation, higher personal and corporate taxes, and a lower dollar point U.S. and global investors away from U.S. assets and toward more competitive economies less burdened by health and pension liabilities. Those personified by higher savings rates and investment as a percentage of GDP. Need I say more than to sell U.S. assets and buy Asian ones denominated in their local currencies, or if necessary, hire a global asset manager with sufficient flexibility and proper foresight to thrive in an increasingly difficult investment buyer environment. So there you have Bill Gross on his website telling PIMCO clients to go out and find a global asset manager to help them get out of the dollar and to get their money invested in places like Asia. Now, this is exactly what we're doing at Euro Pacific Capital. I mean, he might as well have put on there, open up an account with Euro Pacific Capital, call Peter Schiff and send him money. I mean, because I'm the only one that's doing that. You know, who else is doing that but me? So that's basically what he's saying. I mean, and this guy is managing the biggest portfolio in U.S. government bonds, and he's telling people to get rid of government bonds. I mean, you really got to admire that guy, because what he's saying is exactly opposite of what he's selling. He's basically telling people, don't send me your money. You're going to lose it. Send it to Euro Pacific Capital instead and let them invest it offshore. So this is some good stuff. This is some very, very good stuff. And, you know, that's in contrast. And I want to talk about the article written over at Morgan Stanley 2 days ago by Stephen Roach, who's expressing a very different point of view than Bill Gross. And it's very interesting. And I want to talk about Stephen Roach, because I think what he had to say is very significant. Not what he said being significant, but the fact that he said it is significant. But anyway, let me take a quick call. I've got John on the line from Florida. Go ahead, John.
Hey, boss. Yeah, I want to ask you a question. Can you bring me an update on REFCO and what you're doing with the Rogers Fund and all that?
We can't do anything, but you know, it's been postponed and postponed. And the whole thing, I was just actually speaking with one of my representatives over dinner today. I mean, what a fiasco this has been, because that fund has performed so well over the past several months, and we had so many people that wanted to put money into it, and we couldn't do it. And it's killed us. I mean, oil's at $75 a barrel. I mean, this fund is just doing incredible. But the wheels of justice, in quotations, in the United States turn extremely slowly. And this thing is dragging through these bankruptcy courts. It is taking forever. So now they're telling us maybe we'll get something by June. But, I mean, they keep – I mean, it used to be we were going to get something by the end of last year. So I don't really know. I know the fund is continuing to perform very well for those people who are in it. But nobody can put new money in, and also nobody who has money in can really get it out, although the money is growing.
Yeah, that was my –
because of the courts.
Can't get money out of it.
Right, but the money that you have in there is growing. The fund is doing very well, as you would imagine with oil prices at over $70 a barrel. But hopefully this will be resolved. It's a real shame that Rogers, you know, happened to get involved or in bed with Revco, and especially the timing. I mean, it was so close to when this whole thing fell apart.
Did he bring a lawsuit against them?
There are a lot of lawsuits against them, and I'm not really sure if it's, you know, personal or if it's just the company, you know, that's doing. But, I mean, it's a whole mess, but hopefully it will get resolved. Meanwhile, his ex-business partner is also has these funds that they're setting up that are pretty much similar to the Rogers Fund in many respects, and in some ways even better. And so whichever one of these funds reopens first, I mean, we're going to call people and get them involved because it's a great way. It's a great concept. It's provided a great return for our clients over the years.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Are you a client of ours, John?
No, not yet. I've been talking to Danielle, but I'm not a client yet.
All right, well, don't wait too much longer. All of our stuff has been going up, as you can imagine. So the sooner you can get on board, the better.
When you turn loose with Revco, Revco has my money.
Oh, with the Rogers Fund.
No, it was another farm.
Oh, you've got something else over there. Yeah, well, I mean, the only thing we had to do with them was Rogers, so that was the only, you know, we didn't have much else.
Okay.
All right, John, thanks for the call. Okay, we've got one more person on the line. I want to take a quick break, play a commercial, and at the end of this commercial break, I'll take the caller and proceed with the program.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that has passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
Okay, we are back with the program. The number to call, a toll-free, is 888-678-9597. 888-678-9597. And you are listening to Peter Schiff at Euro Pacific Capital, broadcasting live on my website at www.europac.net and 5.07 megahertz. And let's take a call from Mike in Texas. Go ahead, Mike.
Hello, Peter.
How you doing?
Hey, just a little bit of a clarification on what you said about the reason why gold was hit today. It really had nothing to do with profit-taking. The reason why is because there really are very, very few specs in the market. The most people got out of the market because of their advisors for both gold and silver at about $10 for silver and in the neighborhood of about $550 to $600 for gold, especially as it was approaching the 612 mark. What did it today was was basically just a raid by the shorts. What's been going on in the gold market is that the price of gold has been going up, but the open interest has been fairly stagnant, and in some cases it has gone down. It has really done that in the silver market. I mean,
so you're getting some short covering. You're getting a bit of a short squeeze going on, is what you're saying.
You're getting a massive...
Some of these shorts are trying to do what they can to try to push down the price. But remember, their ultimate desire is to buy. So the shorts are really, I mean, we got the shorts by the short and curlies.
Sure, but what they did is they colluded in order to drive the price down today. What they do is they stand there in the pits with their arms crossed, having colluded with one another, which is illegal, and they say, we will not bid. So they don't start bidding against one another.
Who cares? Who cares what they're going to do?
Well, because it's extremely important what they're going to do, because that is what is driving gold, and that is the and silver, and that is the reason why people that are listening to these silly advisors, these silly paid subscriptions, they have been sitting on the sidelines for the last $100 move in gold.
A lot of people have been sitting there waiting for a pullback. Look, I mean, I think it's great that if it is possible that some of these shorts are dumb enough to try to drive the market lower, because, you know, all they're doing is giving me an opportunity to buy more for my clients, and they're only screwing themselves more, because whatever gold they sell, they're going to have to buy it back higher. This is such a huge move globally back into metals after years and years of people being in, you know, living in fantasy land and having this crazy confidence in these central bankers. And, you know, more and more people are going to start to realize this, especially with Bernanke, you know, putting his foot in his mouth, and people start to realize that these guys are just politicians with printing presses, and why should they trust them?
You know, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get out of their shorts, but what they do and when...
They're never going to get out of those shorts. They're screwed. So...
And you,
they're gonna have to buy this stuff back higher, and they're in trouble.
And when you don't have a lot of specs in the market, what they're able to do, like what they did today, they're able to start a little bit of a waterfall down, and they short the market down, even though they've already got massive shorts. And then at a certain point in time, they cover those shorts,
buy them back. They try to move the market down.
They just now move down, and then they try and cover their massive shorts. In the gold market, the basically two large shorts are short approximately 10,000 metric tons of gold. Now, when you look at world production, that is about 4 to 5 times world production, and you're running a deficit of world production of about 1,200 to 1,500 metric tons.
This position you could be in right now is short. You know, maybe short silver might be worse than short gold, but there's no reason. So look, if these guys are in trouble, and the real money, the smart money, is on the other side of that trade, buying, and you know, let the public in general and the media, you know, think there's some kind of crazy speculative bubble going on, that the people who are buying these stocks don't know what they're doing, buying gold don't know what they're doing. Believe me, they know what they're leaving their money in the.
You can't have a
speculative they're doing.
You can't have a speculative bubble when you have the largest short positions for two commodities in world history. You can't have a bubble when you've got that type of a short.
Now, there's a lot of reasons I don't have a bubble. But, I mean, this is, you know, but the big thing that's happening in the world is going to be the return to gold into the general public, into general circulation, both as a medium of exchange, as a store of value. It's going to make its way back into portfolios as insurance. It's going to be rediscovered after, you know, years of being neglected.
But he's arguing that. What I'm saying is what makes gold and silver the buy of a lifetime right now is very simple. Number one, let's go back to the old adage that gold pays no interest, it pays no dividend.
Well, no, I made the point in my newsletter that just came out. I made the point that, you know, the NASDAQ, in the NASDAQ bull market or bubble of the 1990s, the NASDAQ went from 300 in 1990 to 5,000 in 2000. 300 to 5,000. Now, if the NASDAQ can go from 300 to 5,000, why can't gold go from 300 to 5,000?
The point I'm trying to make...
The NASDAQ is the same as gold, zero.
The point I'm trying to make with the metals is the fact that I said the old adage is that it doesn't pay a dividend because it's supposed to, you know, track inflation, all that stuff. The point, the reason why it is such an investment of a lifetime right now is because of those two short positions, and because both silver and gold have been a manipulated market for decades for gold and for more than decades for silver. As a result of that, they are extremely suppressed prices.
Well, there's no question, and you know that. I mean, mining output out of South Africa is at its lowest point ever because gold is so mispriced relative to the cost of mining it. Look, you know, look at these mining stocks. Back in 1996, when gold was at 400, the XAU was at 160. Today, gold is at 650, and the XAU is still 160.
What I'm trying to make is, if people get into gold and silver right now, what they're going to be able to do is they're going to be able to ride the largest short squeeze for two metals in the history of the commodities market. But their advisors, and darn it, the advisors have them out of the market. If you look at the newsletter writers.
It's not just going to be a short squeeze. This is real demand for the metal. You've got paper money being you know, printed like water. And so.
Causing the short squeeze. You can't.
Also causing real demand for metal as money is losing value. I mean, as currencies are losing value relative to money. I mean, look at the Dow now is breaking below 17 ounces of gold, down 15% on a year. Assets are losing value to gold. And yeah, there are people who are short. They're going to have to cover. But, you know, that's not what's going to drive this market. That might help drive it to extreme levels. But it's really the big fundamentals that are driving it. So are you a customer of ours, Mike?
Not yet. I'm still getting money together in order to do that.
Well, look, we welcome you aboard. We'd like to have you and appreciate the call. And, you know, I share your optimism, obviously, on gold.
All right.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, you know, there's so many reasons why gold's going to go higher. And so the thing is just own it, you know. And it's not so much, you know, I'm looking at gold going up as I'm looking at the dollar going down. Just like Bill Gross said, the dollar's going to go down. There's no way out of this mess that doesn't involve the dollar going down. And, of course, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have a lot of pain in the country. It's going to be very painful for Americans. But the dollar is going to go down. It's not a good thing. It's a very bad thing for the American standard of living, for the future of Americans, but this is going to happen. Anyway, I've got George on hold from Maryland. Go ahead, George.
Hi, Peter. I told my dad to tune in, so he's listening. He's 77 years old. He's retired from Bethlehem Steel, which is, of course, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation took over that pension, and he's on Social Security. And I want you to tell him why he should invest with you and what your strategy would be as far as...
Well, are you a client of ours, George?
Yeah, I've completed the paperwork, and I haven't funded my account yet.
So I was just going to say, show him your statements, and that would be proof enough. But the problem, if you just started, then you don't have that to show him, that performance to show him. But yeah, I mean, you just have him read that Bill Gross article I mentioned. That tells you why he should have an account with us. You know, the dollar's got no place to go but down, and if you have investments in dollars, then your account can do nothing but depreciate. And especially if you're older, if you're dependent on fixed payments from a pension or government, you know, inflation's going to eat you alive. And you've got to try to stay as many steps ahead of it as possible. And the only way to do that is to get out of the currency that's being debased. You know, and you can't rely on things like tips. Because that's a bunch of, you know, that's tied to the CPI. You don't want anything tied to the CPI. The government creates the CPI, and they manipulate the CPI. And so you've got to have a real legitimate inflation hedge, something beyond the control of the U.S. government to manipulate. And, you know, the sooner the better. You know, the dollar's not getting any more valuable now. I mean, we've really, you know, for a while, you know, people had some time because the dollar was treading water, but it's sinking again, and it could be sinking for the last time.
How many millions of dollars is the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation?
The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation is going to go bankrupt, just like all these other government organizations like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I mean, they're all going to go under. The only reason they won't go under is because if we have hyperinflation, but that's not going to be much of a consolation. But so you got to be prepared. You got to have your money invested outside of the dollar.
Another thing I never hear you mention that could really affect gold as well, and that'll be another nightmare, is the bird flu pandemic, which they're saying is it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with anything on the bird flu. I mean, I'm just dealing with economic certainties right now that are going to happen for sure. You know, this is natural disasters I'm not really having any control over, and I try not to invest based on what might happen from a natural disaster. But these man-made disasters are a different story, because they're going to happen for sure.
the bird flu would be an economic, disaster.
No, but I'm saying it's something in nature. It's not something we're bringing on ourselves, like this economic collapse that's coming. And it's going to happen regardless. There doesn't have to be any terrorist attacks. There doesn't have to be any bird flu. If everything goes perfectly with Mother Nature, we're still going to have an economic disaster because we created it ourselves. And it's going to happen. And so, history shows that, there are people who can prepare for these things in advance. Not everybody has to get destroyed, if you're paying attention and you do the right thing.
That's what I try to tell my buddies. I've got a few friends that, that have been investing in gold and silver as per my recommendation, because I've been buying it for the last 4 years. And they're jumping up and down watching these, metals going up. Like I said, it's good to be excited, but remember, it's going to be, just like you had brought up before, it's going to be at the expense of our country. I mean,
The country's in trouble, but it's not, we're already in trouble.
You're doing it to protect more than you are for profit. That's the main thing. You want to protect yourself, so.
I mean, we're like the Titanic. I mean, we've already hit the iceberg. And so it's only a matter of time before we sink. I mean, the damage has already been done. We've already taxed and regulated and spent ourselves into oblivion. The fact that we're still afloat is only a function of time. And I don't think there's a lot of time left. So, you just want to be, just like the people who got off the Titanic in time, we want to be among the few that make it to a lifeboat. We don't want to be the patriotic ones who, go down with the ship, saluting the flag.
All right, Peter, well, listen, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Keep up the great work.
All right, thanks a lot, George, and thanks for opening your account, and thanks for referring your dad.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody who's got an account with us, you got to refer people. You got to refer your relatives. You got to refer your friends. And I say that in all sincerity, not simply because we want the business, because certainly we do, but because you need us to have that business. Because I've told my clients, and I tell them every chance I get, you don't want to be the only one in your family and in your circle of friends who doesn't go broke. Because that's not going to be any fun. When all your friends and relatives are broken, they know that you have money. Because they're all going to hit you up for loans, and sometimes you're going to feel pressured to make them. And of course, you want to have fun, you want to go out and, out to dinner, you want to go play golf. You don't want to have to pick up the tab for everybody because they can't afford these things. So you want to make sure that the people around you, the people that you care about, that they're protected too, because you might end up having to take care of all them. And so, which means the money that I'm making you might not go as far. So you really got to try to do what you can to help people out. And then at least if they do nothing and then they come to you, after the collapse and they hit you up for a loan, you can at least say, look, I told you. I gave you Euro Pacific Capital's number. I told you to call them. It's not like I didn't try to help you. You got that. You can always bring that up. As opposed to they can say, hey, why didn't you tell me? You knew about this. You said nothing. You just let me go broke. Why didn't you say something when you had a chance? So don't let them pull that. So you got to, give them the opportunity, tell them what's going on, and then, the ball's in their court. And if they do nothing, and then they come to you later because they're broke, you're in a better position to turn them down. But better, hopefully, they take your advice, they're not broke, and then they don't need a loan. But anyway, it's a great reason to refer people, and so do it as soon as you can. Now, I wanted to go from Segway. The lines are open if anyone wants to call 888-678-9597, the toll-free number, 888-678-9597. I wanted to talk about Stephen Roach over at Morgan Stanley. Now, Stephen Roach has been the lone bear on Wall Street, consistent bear for years. I mean, if anybody on Wall Street sounded similar to me, it was Stephen Roach. All right? I mean, I see my name in a lot of articles where he's quoted. I mean, obviously he's the bigger draw than me, but we're making the same types of comments. We both were interviewed on that program, The Day of the Dollar, in the Netherlands, and I mean, he's a good guy. I mean, he's one of the best on Wall Street as far as understanding these problems. And basically, he's been all over the news recently because all of a sudden, he's not as bearish anymore. He's optimistic. He thinks things are going to be okay. And it's just amazing that he's made this conversion. And I think it's very significant because generally, what you look for a major turning point, in any kind of bull or bear market, When the last bear turns bullish, that's a real negative sign, a contrarian sign. In a bear market, when the last bull turns bearish, that's a good sign that you're at the bottom. And what Stephen Roach has really been one of the lone bears on the fact that this current account imbalance can't sustain itself. Most of Wall Street and academia believe that we can do this forever, that there's no problem with running a trade deficit or a current account deficit. We can have a service economy. We can run up these debts, and foreigners, you know, have no choice but to fund it, and everything is copacetic. And it's been going on for years. And the main holdout, the one guy in Wall Street that's been saying, no, it can't go on. It's going to end badly. This is a problem. It's been Stephen Roach. Now, all of a sudden, Stephen Roach is joining the choir of everybody saying that it's going to be okay. And I think that is a perfect, you know, capitulation by the premier bear on the fact that this can't go on, now saying, joining the chorus and saying it can. So that's it. I mean, we're ready to go. That's the end of it. I mean, it seems totally perfect that just before the collapse, the one guy on Wall Street that's been warning about it finally decides it's not a problem. And, you know, the funniest thing, his reason, it's like, well, why? What happened? Why did Stephen Roach all of a sudden do a, you know, 180? Why all of a sudden does he think that this thing is going to be a soft landing? And he's never thought that before. That's the crazy part. His reason is because in recent communiques, the IMF and the G7 have expressed concern over the growing imbalances. Now, that's it. That's all that's changed. So apparently, according to Stephen Roach, because some bureaucrats said that they admit that there's a problem, then all of a sudden, the problem's solved, simply because they acknowledged that it existed. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, if anything, the fact that the problems are now so big that the government is actually admitting it, that should have given him, you know, more grist for his mill. I mean, he should be, I told you so. This should be his aha moment, you know, feeling vindicated. He shouldn't be turning around. And in fact, many of the other things he points at recently as being positives, the weakening dollar, you know, that's not a positive, that's a negative. The dollar going down is part of the negative ramifications of the current account deficit. You know, he's been talking about the real estate bubble. All of a sudden, he's not worried about the real estate bubble popping when there's more evidence than ever that that's what's happening. I mean, he should be, you know, he should be, I told you so, I told you so. He should be shouting from the rooftops, you see? I mean, he's about to be proven right. But instead, he flip-flops and goes the other way. It's an unbelievable conversion for the stupidest possible reason. Now, I made fun of it in my commentary. I put out a commentary that's on my website, and I called it Cool Hand a Roach. And it's a pun from the 60s movie Cool Hand Luke. And it's a great movie. If you haven't seen that movie, you really ought to rent it, with Paul Newman and George Kennedy. But it's a great, great movie. But anyway, in the movie, the character, you know, who they call Luke, Cool Hand Luke, played by Paul Newman, is in a prison down south, and he's just a total nonconformist, and he won't listen to the bosses, and he always tries to escape. And then there's, in the famous scene of the movie, is when you know, they're beating him into submission, and they're putting him in solitary and beating him, and they, you know, the boss is like, what we have here is a failure to communicate, and he says, we got to get your mind right, boy. And then, at some point in the movie, he's like, yes, boss, I got my mind right. They turned him around. Now, actually, he was joking. I mean, he was playing with him because he was planning another escape all along. But the whole idea is that, Stephen Roach has been on Wall Street and his mind's been wrong. He's had a failure to communicate the bullish line. And I talked about the fact that the bosses over at Morgan Stanley finally succeeded in getting his mind right. You know, now he sees it like everybody else. Now he's, aha, this is, everything is great. And, you know, I poke fun at the idea that, you know, just because you acknowledge a problem, that all of a sudden it means the problem's solved. And I pointed out, I said, look, the government acknowledged the problem, poverty, in the 1960s. Lyndon Johnson declared war on poverty in the 1960s. Here it is, 40 years later. And I said, the last time I, you know, last time I checked, that poverty was still winning that war. You know, that famous line from that movie, or from not the movie, but the real life scenario of Apollo 11, where you get, you know, Houston, we've got a problem. I said, that should have ended it right there. The minute Lovell acknowledged there was a problem, I guess all the boys at Cape Canaveral should have gone home. Because the minute he knew there was a problem, they should have figured it was going to solve itself. You know, or, the Alcoholics Anonymous or, you know, 12-step program, you know, the first thing you do, you go to an alcoholics meeting, you say, hi, my name is Peter and I'm an alcoholic. Well, according to Stephen Roach, they ought to just adjourn the meetings. Everybody goes home right there, right? There's no reason to have Alcoholics Anonymous. No, because once you've admitted you're an alcoholic, well, you solved the problem right there because you acknowledged it. Now, sure, acknowledging the problem is a step in the right direction, but it's a small step. It's the first step. I mean, obviously, you've got to take that step before you can complete the journey. But you can't just take the first step and figure you're done. So just because the IMF and the G7 acknowledges the problem, okay, so it's a problem. So what have they done? They've done nothing. And what can they do? They can't do anything. That's the problem with this problem, is it can't just be solved. See, Stephen Roach is talking about, okay, the government knows there's a problem, so they're going to solve it. The government can't solve this problem. It's an unsolvable problem. It's going to have to work its way out. These imbalances are going to have to work its way out. The U.S. economy is going to have to collapse. Americans are going to have to stop spending and start producing. They're going to have to start saving. The dollar is going to go down. Our standard of living is going to go down. There's nothing that politicians could do to solve that. All they can do is let it happen. Right now what they're trying to do is prevent it from happening, and they're delaying it, and they're making the situation worse. But, I mean, what Stephen Roach said in his most recent article makes no sense whatsoever. And what he actually believes, you know, I have no clue, because it's hard for me to just say anything, you know, and accuse him of anything. I don't know the guy. But it just doesn't make any sense that he would turn around on so flimsy an excuse as, you know, they've acknowledged the problem. Anyway, we got a couple more callers on hold. Let me take a quick break and play. Did I play the second commercial already? I can't even remember. All right, let's play the commercial and we'll come back take another couple of calls.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that has passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
Okay, we are back. And again, number to call, 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. Anyway, let's take a call. I've got, I'm not sure who's next in the queue here. I think it's Larry in Florida. Go ahead, Larry. Larry, are you there? All right, what about Ken in New York?
Ken's here.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Peter?
Good, good.
I've been enjoying your show for a little while here.
Thank you. A little while meaning today or, you know, months or weeks or?
Yeah, a few months anyway.
How'd you happen to start listening?
Boy, I couldn't even tell you. I've wanted a shortwave radio all my life, especially when I was a kid. And recently, a year or two ago, I realized I could actually go out and buy one. So I did. And I stumbled upon your show by accident.
All right, well, good. Good. It was fortuitous.
And I found your logic very persuasive. And that leads me to my comment here. You're imploring people to become your clients, and I've been trying to do that. But some of us are really beginners at the whole concept of finance and investment. I'm a small farmer, very small, not a financier. I've been trying to get get the paperwork in order since, like, the end of March. And I just wanted to say that your beginners could use a lot of nursing.
Well, are you working with one of the brokers at your Pacific Capital right now?
Yep.
Who are you working with?
I don't even want to. I'm not complaining about anybody.
I'm not saying that you are, but, I mean, yeah, I mean, we're helping a lot of first-time, you know, international investors. I mean, sure, most of our clients, you know, have some experience investing someplace else. You know, they've done their own, invested domestically. But it's really not that complicated, and I just, you know, the forms are very simple. You fill them out and sign them in. It's not that complicated, and if you're having any problems, I mean, hopefully, you can, you know, get them worked out quickly because, you know, the sooner you open up an account, chances are the better off you're going to be.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, well, just, you know, just get on the phone, talk to the broker, and if you guys can't figure out what the problem is, you know, have them call me up, come to me, and we'll try to figure out what the stumbling block is, if there is any, because there should be. It should be a very smooth process. I mean, the government has certainly done a lot to make this process more complex. When I first got into this business, you know, the new account forms were about one page, and now they're, I don't know, 10 or 12, and, you know, with all the new records with the Patriot Act and all this money laundering and all this stuff crap, you know, we got to get a lot more information, in many cases a lot more useless information than we used to. So the government certainly, you know, has more forms for us to fill out and more things for you to sign, but it's not anything complicated. It's more just, you know, extra wasted paperwork. But that's what the government's all about, is creating waste and creating roadblocks to diminish the free market so that we all can be collectively poorer because of this giant bureaucracy that strangles us.
Well, here's what I would have liked, was to have seen all the papers earlier in the process.
Well, you know, the thing is, you can actually open the account, send the money in, and buy stocks without any papers even being done. So that's the important thing, is you want to just get your money safe, you know. Sure, the papers need to be signed, but they don't have to be signed before the money's invested. Only if it's an IRA does that have to happen. But if it's just a regular account, I mean, we can invest money for somebody before we even receive their check or get anything. We can just start going. And that's the important thing, is just to get the ball rolling, get rid of your dollars so you can sleep soundly. You know, don't go to bed an extra night with dollars when you don't have to. Don't take that risk that you wake up broke because someone in Japan or someone in China stopped being stupid. Well, thanks for the call. I hope that we iron out these problems and get you on board as a client.
I'm plugging along here. I'm just saying there's some people who are going to need a lot of attention.
Well, we've got a growing group of salesmen and brokers to provide that attention. Okay.
And if anybody is discouraged, that they should keep plugging along.
It's important. It's very important.
Well,
okay.
Important.
Thanks a lot for the call, Larry. Okay. Now, so that was Ken. Okay. All the calls are gone? Okay. So the lines are clear. I thought that. So I guess maybe somebody was on hold. Anyway, we don't have that much time left anyway. Only about 8 more minutes left in the show. But, yeah, you know, this Stephen Roach thing I thought was very significant, you know. You know, not so much for what he actually said, because he really said nothing, but the fact that it is a capitulation, the fact that he is no longer the lone voice of reason and bearishness. Now everybody's on board. Every major Wall Street firm, they all think that this can go on forever. They all think that there's no problem, or that if there is going to be a resolution to these imbalances, it's going to be no big deal. We're going to take it in stride. It's not going to upset anybody's apple cart. That there's no comeuppance. There's no time to pay the piper. The chickens aren't going to come home to roost. That we're just going to get a pass on this whole thing. That everything is going to be fine. And I think it's perfect sense that now that we've got the last lone guy that held out some sanity is gone. Now, I don't count people like myself, because I mean, as much as I wish Euro Pacific Capital was on the par of Morgan Stanley, you know, I'm not. I am a tiny little brokerage firm. I mean, I am insignificant in the scheme of things. You know, I'm so far out there on the fringe of the mainstream that, you know, what I'm saying doesn't really amount to anything, because, you know, the number of people, though it's a growing number and there are people who I'm influencing, you know, on the broad scheme of things, based on how many Americans there are, you know, just a handful of people, you know, relatively know who Euro Pacific Capital is, know who I am. So the fact that I'm still bearish doesn't really mean anything. But Stephen Roach, you know, at a major firm like Morgan Stanley, even though he probably wasn't a household name, I mean, obviously the average person doesn't know who Stephen Roach is. The average person on Wall Street knows who he is. I mean, you probably couldn't, I mean, anybody who works for a Wall Street brokerage firm knows who Stephen Roach is. Anybody, everybody knows. I mean, he's the bear. He's the, you know, he's been bearish. And of course, according to everybody, he's been wrong because the gloom and doom he's been broadcasting has never happened. You know, I don't know how many people on Wall Street know who I am, but I mean, very, very few. I mean, there's some. I mean, obviously, there I've made some inroads, but I mean, I'm not a household name among brokers in you know, in the United States like Stephen Roach. So this is very significant. And you know, as far as they're concerned, you know, nobody's bearish anymore. So it's I think it's a good sign that we're in the last inning here. And, I'm not saying good because it's good for the country or that, you know, we're glad that this is happening, but meaning that, you know, it's going to happen. And I still think in the long-term scheme of things for America, the sooner we get this over with, the better. It would have been far better had the collapse occurred 5 years ago because we would have collapsed in a far more stable environment, where we had more of our economy still intact. I mean, the fact that the government was successful in postponing this correction is the worst thing that could have happened, because their success is basically our failure. You know, the more they succeed in postponing it, the worse the problems get. So you know, it's nothing to celebrate. We want to get this over with. The only thing that we can do as investors, as individuals, is recognize that this is going to happen. And even in Stephen Roach's commentary about him being a sanguine is because he believes that now there will be an orderly decline in the dollar. He's watching the dollar decline. He commented, the dollar's going down, but it's not collapsing. Well, it's not collapsing yet. I mean, it's not, you know, it probably still will, but now he was envisioning a period of time where the dollar just slowly goes down. Well, even if that was the case, if the dollar was going to slowly go down, why would you want to slowly go down with it, right? Why? I mean, why do that? It's like, yeah, you're on a ship, it's going to sink, but don't worry, it's going to sink slowly. Well, it's still sinking, and I don't want to sink. I want to get off it. I don't want to go down with the ship, even if it goes down slowly. I mean, so even if in his rosy scenario, the dollar still goes down. And in Bill Gross's scenario, the dollar goes down. I mean, in any scenario, whether it's an optimistic soft landing or my more realistic, I believe, you know, gloom and doom, you know, collapse, either way, the dollar either collapses or it goes down slowly. But it arrives at the same destination. And I don't want to be at that destination. I don't want to watch my wealth evaporate. I want to get out of the dollar before that happens. And that's what you got to do. That's the most important thing that anybody could do. And that's the whole purpose of this show. That's the whole purpose of my firm, is to try to help educate Americans as to the real dangers and the real threats. The real dangers and threats right now, they're not terrorists. You know, it's nothing that's going on in Iran or Iraq or any place else in the world. The real threat to your financial security is the collapse of the dollar. The threat is coming not from abroad, but from within. It emanates from Washington, from Congress, from the Federal Reserve. But these are real threats, and your livelihood, your future standards of living are in jeopardy. And people need to take action. And this, fortunately, is something that you can do. You know, terrorism, sure, terrorism is a threat. I'm not saying it's not. But it's not a threat that we can really do anything about individually. If we're going to get blown up by terrorists, you know, if we happen to get on the wrong plane or the wrong bus, you know, that's an act of, you know, we can't do anything. We can't stop living our lives. This is something we can do something about. You can protect your wealth. You don't have to let it go away. And you have to, you know, make a call to Euro Pacific Capital. Let us help you. You know, give us a call, 800-727-7922, 800-727-7922. Talk to a broker. Visit my website, www.europac.net, EUROPAC RevCo.net. You know, read my commentary, read my reports, read the report on the powerful case for investing in foreign equities. Read my interview with Jimmy Rogers on commodities. Great interview. Sign up for the newsletter. That's it. See everybody in Vegas, and see you next week on the show.